Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, or from evil. Well, brothers and sisters, as we consider the Word of God this afternoon, I'm coming to finish what Zach began. Zach has been was leading us through the Lord's Prayer, through petition number 5. Tonight we'll consider petition 6, and then, Lord willing, in a few weeks, when I'm back in the pulpit here, I'll be in. We'll conclude the Lord's Prayer with the final words, the doxology, the praise at the end. And actually, at that time as well, we'll be concluding a 4-year study in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is a faithful summary, the 107 questions that faithfully summarize the teachings of Scripture, giving us taking the truths of Scripture and condensing them into small questions and answers, helping them to be remembered in our minds and to have a great effect on our hearts. And so it has been a blessing. We haven't done it all for 4 years straight, but through these 4 years to be working through these biblical doctrines. Well, the great spiritual need, the great need of all mankind is to eradicate sin and evil from our lives and to live a holy and pure and righteous life. That is our great spiritual need. And the truth is that this is not something we can achieve on ourselves, by ourselves, for ourselves, or for anyone else, but it's something that only God can grant to us. Only the one true living God is able to give this to us, and He offers that to us in His mercy. He doesn't have to, but He does through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we considered our need for Him in terms of forgiveness, as we prayed that He would forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors, that He would show us mercy and that we would respond as well by showing mercy to those who have sinned against us. So we ask for forgiveness. And this week, we ask for deliverance from evil. Now we speak in that need so that we would be able to resist the temptation to do sin. Temptation being those urges, those desires, those pulls to do what is evil, the impurity to indulge in impurity and that which is against God's standard. Not a worldly idea of morality, but a godly idea of morality. And so this afternoon we're going to consider our need of God to defend and protect us and help us in the ways that He deems best and wisest. And so we're going to consider this 6th petition, and that when you pray this petition, you confess you cannot overcome temptation by yourself, and instead seek the salvation you need from God. When you pray this petition, you confess you cannot overcome temptation by yourself, and instead seek the salvation you need from God. And it's really a simple outline. First, we're going to consider what you pray, and then second, how you pray it. So first, what you pray. And this is really the unpacking of this petition that comes to us in 2 phrases. First, do not lead us into temptation. And secondly, but deliver us from the evil one. Now this petition, perhaps more than the others, may leave you a bit puzzled. Because when we're praying to God not to lead us into temptation, the question may come to mind, well, what is God doing? Is God tempting me to sin? Does God seek for my seek to pull me into that which is evil and against His very character? Is that what God is doing? Is God the one who is enticing us to sin? Well, perhaps it's helpful. It is helpful. I shouldn't say perhaps it's helpful. It is helpful here to start with some definitions, to start with understanding the distinction that the Bible makes in between temptation and testing. And it matters the context in which it's found. So temptation is that which entices you to do evil. And temptation can come from 3 main sources. Temptation can come from the evil one himself, who is Satan, who is the devil, who is that great liar from the beginning, the very source of evil, who can come and entices us to sin, who is not all-powerful, but who is certainly powerful to put those things in our lives that He knows we might lust after and desire after, that our heart is weak and cannot resist. And then with that, and helping along with that, is the temptation of the world, of those around us who do not love the Lord, who are in league with Satan and in rebellion against God, and who are putting up all kinds of roadblocks to holiness, all kinds of ways of saying, oh, just come along a little, just join with us, those friends who want to us to indulge in sin with them. And then those are external temptations, but then there's the internal. There is our own heart, the sin that remains within us, the corruption that's still within us, even as Christians. The unholy parts that have not been made pure, we're fighting from within. So when someone comes with temptation, our own hearts are trying to go along with it, or we're stirring up from within ourselves the desires after those things that are unholy and ungodly and unfaithful. That's a temptation. That all these temptations are enticing us to do what is impure, enticing us to ignore God's commands and to serve ourselves and to love ourselves instead of God. That's the kind of temptation that we face often. But that is not the kind of temptation that is not what God does in our life. In the book of James, the Apostle James writes in James 1:13, as he's about to go into the point that we are tempted of ourselves, we're drawn away by our own desires, we're enticed from within. He says in James 1:13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." God is not enticing us to sin. But what God does in our life, how God works in our life, actually is tests us. God tests us, which is a distinction from tempting, because when God tests us, he's not doing it so that we would fall. He's not trying to get us to fall. He's not wanting us to indulge in sin, but he tests us in order to strengthen our faith. He tests us so that our weaknesses are exposed, that he might help us, that we might run to him and find from him the strength needed to overcome sin and evil in our lives, to grow in our faith. God's goal is to strengthen our faith. And that is the work that God is doing in our lives as Christians, exposing our sin that he might deliver us from it. And when Satan and the world and our own selves are enticing us to sin, God is powerful and sovereign even to overrule those actions, to bring good out of what was intended for evil, to even use those times of struggle and sin even to do good and to show us the evil of sin and to bring us to him and to realize our weakness, that we might find our strength in him. Our confession of faith, again, summarizing biblical truth in the chapter on God's providence, speaks to God's doing this very thing in our lives. Chapter 5 of our Confession of Faith, paragraph 5, reads this way: "The most righteous, the most wise, righteous, and gracious God doth oftentimes leave for a season his own children to many temptations and many kinds of temptations, and the corruption of their own hearts, to chastise them for former sins, to discover to them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts, that they may be humbled, and to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon himself, and to make them more watchful against all future occasions of sin and for many other just and holy ends." So God is not enticing us to sin, but he may leave us over to the temptations of Satan and ourselves and the world in order that we would see our sin, we'd understand our corruption, we would hate it all the more and flee to Christ. And our God and our Father is always accomplishing good through the work that he is doing in this way. You might say, well, or I'm asking, you know, is it always obvious? Do you always know when you're in the midst of that struggle what God's good is that he's doing? Is it always obvious what his ends are in terms of experience? No, it's not always obvious. So we live by faith. We look to him and we trust him. We recognize this is how God is at work to do good in us. We can trust him to be good to us. So as we pray, and he commands us to pray, that we would be avoiding temptation. We're not seeking temptation. We're not putting ourselves in the way of sin. That in order that say, well, Lord, I'm gonna go to this place that I know there's lots of temptation to sin, but I hope you're gonna do some good out of it. We don't do that ourselves. We're not wise to know what is best. God is wise. We must pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, there where they were going to struggle to stay true to Jesus, even when he was going to be arrested. And he tells them, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he can say that to us in so many contexts, where the God has come and saved us. He's given us new life in Jesus Christ. The spirit is willing, where we can say, "I don't want to sin." We battle against sin. We hate sin. We don't want to do it, but our flesh is weak. And those things that we would not, that we still do. Even as we pray, "Lead us not into temptation," we pray trusting God to do what is best, to know what is the best for us in each moment and circumstance. And we can do praying then, being confident in God's good plan and confident in a strong God and a strong Savior. And we can be confident because not only does God declare that to us, which is good for us to hear, but then we also, as we read this afternoon, we recognize Jesus Christ in our own humanity. He, God becoming flesh, he humbled himself to become a man. And he then willingly and brought by the Father into the wilderness to experience the temptations of Satan, he willingly endured the temptations. And there with his purity and his perfections, it was an even more it was a greater time of torment than even what we experience, because we sometimes like temptation. It entices us. It indulges us. Let's say we think we can indulge in those things in our own hearts. But Jesus had no internal impurity in himself. Here he was, the perfectly pure Son of God, facing those evil and vile temptations. It was not an easy thing. It was not just something he could just shrug his shoulders at and say, "Oh, no big deal." But he was weak. With the Holy Spirit in him, he overcame these temptations. He resisted Satan. He did not sin. He endured and was faithful and victorious where we have failed time and time and time again. But he did it so that we who believe in him could share in his victory. That we would be able to receive from him the strength from that he has to overcome. That we would know that same power of the Spirit in our own lives. For it was fitting for him, in bringing many sons to glory, and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. It was fitting that Christ would be made perfect, our perfect head, our perfect leader, our perfect captain of our salvation through suffering. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Elsewhere in the book of Hebrews, we have this wonderful encouragement then, considering this Jesus who has now ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God and rules and reigns. We're told for our own prayers, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus Christ, your Savior, knows what it means to be tempted. He's experienced it in his humanity. He's come and knows it intimately and personally, and he knows what it takes to overcome, and through him you will overcome. Again, Hebrews 4, now it's verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Wonderful. Wonderful truths, wonderful encouragement to pray, "Do not lead us into temptation." And then to pray, "But deliver us from the evil one," or deliver us from evil. We recognize as we pray that first part, "Do not lead us into temptation." As we pray that, as with all our prayers and petitions, we pray according to the will of God. So we submit ourselves to God. We trust him to do what is right. We trust him to answer one way or another according to his perfect and good and holy will. Our prayers, it's interesting because in the New Testament, prayers are in the imperative. They're in the command. And so, you know, reading it, you might think, well, we're commanding God what to do. But when it's done in a prayer form, it's actually a petition. It's a request. It's an urgent request, but it's also always with submission to God. And if it is God's will, and according to God's wisdom, that we be tested in our faith, then we also are able to pray mercifully, "Deliver us from the evil one." If we are tested, if we are tempted, that God would give us that deliverance. He would support us and lift us up when we are struggling. And whether against evil and against the evil one. The grammar of the text means that either one could be applied, whether it's deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one, Satan himself, which, I mean, they go together. There's not much difference. Satan is that source of evil, and he is the one from whom we need deliverance. We pray for that deliverance from all that is wrong, all that is trying to lead us and entice us to sin and to death. Praying that God, for God to deliver us from the evil one, we confess and acknowledge that we are weak. We confess and acknowledge that without the Father sending His Son, without the Son coming to save us and deliver us, without the Holy Spirit sustaining and strengthening us, there is no hope for you and me to overcome evil. There is no victory over Satan. And if you're outside Jesus Christ this afternoon, if you're not trusting and believing on Jesus Christ, there is no strength within you to resist the temptations to do evil. There is no ability to be pure and holy. You are a slave to sin. Now, according to the restraining mercies of God, you are not as evil as you could possibly be. God restrains, or else this world would not exist for 10 seconds if we were all as evil as we could possibly be. God has a restraining hand on us. As we heard this morning, hell will not have that restraint. But that does not mean that you are able to resist Satan that he might flee from you. You're not able to say no to temptation when it comes to you. Outside of Jesus Christ, you are a slave to sin, but Jesus is the one who will free you from that slavery and that bondage and put and bring you to a new way of life, a new way of living, a way of living where you can say, where you can resist Satan and he will flee. You can say no to sin and you don't have to give in. If you're in Jesus Christ this afternoon, you recognize that with such a Savior as we have, He is sympathetic to our struggles. He is sympathetic to your temptations. He is sympathetic to the assaults that you have, those assaults that come from without and from within. And Jesus Christ came and He suffered that He might deliver you from that suffering. He came and won the victory that you might know His strength and be given His strength. Jesus Christ continues to pour out His strength as He gives us the same Spirit that filled Him when we come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He now, in heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, and He prays for us that our faith would not fail. He prays that we would overcome temptation. He intercedes for us before His Father. And that same Jesus Christ who has overcome temptation and won the victory for us all through His life, not just there before, not just there in the wilderness in that one moment, because we're told, the other Gospels tell us that Satan left Him for a season, left Him for a time, but through His whole life He was tempted. On the cross He was tempted to come off. There were those around Him enticing Him to come off the cross and save Himself, but He didn't. Listen, He resisted every temptation. And He is the one who gives us grace to overcome, even when His answer, even when in his wisdom we are tested. Paul, who had a thorn in the flesh, asked three times. He pleaded with the Lord, he says in 2 Corinthians 12, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And his response, God's response, Christ's response, was my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Which leads then Paul to respond, therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So brothers and sisters, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever assaults you, from within or from without, whatever temptation is assaulting you, you can win the victory in Jesus Christ. You do not have to give in. You do not have to brush it off as just who I am. I'm just this kind of sinner or that kind of sinner. You can win the victory. Yes, your flesh is weak. My flesh is weak, but Christ gives us to overcome. He has overcome that we might overcome. And when you're tempted, seek God. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That I hold, by faith, I would lay hold of all that you offer me. That I might win that victory, receive that victory that you have won. So when you pray this petition, you confess you cannot overcome temptation by yourself. And instead, seek the salvation that you need from God. Well, that is what you pray. Well, now let's consider how to pray it. Five ways how to pray this petition. First is to pray this petition with faith. pray this petition with faith. Perhaps even as you're hearing of temptations and struggles, what's coming to mind are those, that temptation or those particular temptations that you've been struggling with, that you're struggling with even now. Maybe you've been struggling with it for many years. Maybe you've been struggling with it in many different ways for many years. It's been a struggle. Do you even believe that you can overcome? Does it even sound possible that you can resist Satan and he would flee from you? Perhaps as you're assaulted from within and from without, there's a familiar narrative that plays out in your experience where you are tempted and you seem to resist for a while, but then it becomes weaker and weaker, and you begin to indulge in that temptation and that bitterness and that jealousy and that lust and pornography or whatever. You're beginning to indulge in it, and you're on that path towards it, and Satan tempts you, he tempts your heart, and he says to you, you know, there's no stopping now. The wheels are in motion. There's no putting the brakes on. It's over. It's done. This time you have to give in. Give in. There's no going back. It's too late. Next time maybe. Maybe the next time you'll have some strength, but not anymore. You might as well just go with it. That's all lies. It's all lies. What he's teaching you, what he's telling you, is that God, first of all, can't help you, has no power to help you, and he's telling you that God won't help you, doesn't want to help you, that he's not interested in helping you. You know what? God is so disgusted with you that he doesn't want to hear from you when you're dealing with sin and temptation. He's ashamed of you. He's going to forsake you. But all of that is a lie. All of that is not true. God is able to help you. God will help you. Think about that, parents. If your children come to you, would you rather have them come to you in the middle of their struggle against sin? Perhaps they've begun that sin. Would you rather have them come to you that moment or in the middle of it, or wait till the end and just follow through and finish it and then come to you? Would you not rather have said, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you come to me when you were struggling? Why didn't you come to me when you felt that anger bubbling up? Maybe you took the first swing at your brother. Why did you finish beating him up and then come to me and confess your guilt? Why didn't you stop? And then, well, I started, I might as well finish. No, stop. So God wants us to come at any point of our temptation. At any point you are weak and you're indulging, you're beginning, go to him. Don't believe the lies of Satan. Some of the greatest encouraging words in temptation come in 1 Corinthians 10, where we're told, take heed, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And that reminder, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's a word to keep in your mind, on your heart as you're facing temptation. Escape. Lord, show me that escape. Give me that escape. You've promised the escape. What an encouragement that God provides a way of escape every single time you're tempted. God provides a way of escape, and when you are battling and assaulted by temptation, he is the only one who can deliver you. He is the only one who can help you. He may use means, he may use people, but he is the one who can give that deliverance, and you can seek him wherever you are in whatever state you're in. In fact, God the Father, hear this, he loves us to be dependent on him. He loves it when we're looking and leaning on him. He loves that because it's coming to him and we're trusting him for that strength. Sometimes we think we're bothering God. You never bother God when you come as his children saying, Lord, help me. So you can respond as Jesus did to Satan's temptations with the word of God. Take the word of God and respond to Satan's lies with God's promises. No, he has promised me the way of escape. He has told me I don't need to follow through in this temptation. And then that cry, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Cry out to him for strength. Pray. Pray this petition with faith in the living God who loves you and has given himself for you. The second way to pray this petition is to pray with a vigilance, to pray with a vigilance. Peter, as he exhorts a persecuted church, a church that was facing the hatred of the world, a church that was tempted in different ways to give in, to give up, to indulge in bitterness or whatever it may have been, he says to them as he writes, as he comes to the conclusion of his first letter to the church, he says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan would love to see us fall. Satan wants to trip us up. Satan wants to bring us down. Satan wants to kill us. This verse is not there to make you worry. It's not there to make you so terrified and just giving up and overwhelmed. No, it's a verse that calls you to vigilance. It's a verse that calls you to keep your guard up. It's a verse that calls you to keep the armor of God on. It's what Jesus says to said to his disciples, to watch and pray lest they enter into temptation, because the flesh is willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the ancient Chinese philosopher Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War, famous book still today, but one of the keys, he says, to winning battle is knowing your enemy. Knowing your enemy. And so with that in mind, to be vigilant against the attacks of Satan, know your enemy. Study the Word of God that you might know his tactics, that you might know his approach, his way. Satan is not very original. I was listening to something, I think it was this week or last week, that was talking about the fact that one of the reasons, you know, church history can be so boring to some and to many of us, and it's saying, you know, Satan doesn't want us to read church history, because as we read church history and realize, we'll realize his tactics are not really that different over the thousands of years. And so if we read church history, we'll come to realize here's what the saints have faced and the battles they faced, how they've overcome by God's grace. We'll learn more about our enemy and the means God gives for the victory. But study the Word to know him, to know Satan, to know his tactics, to know the way he'll attack. Study the Word to hear the promises of God and the victory promised. And also then, to know your own heart. If our heart is also so much a part of our temptation to sin, if there's internal desire that attaches itself to external enticement, then study your own heart. What are you weak in? Where are you weak? What do you want? What is chief to you in the point to ponder in the bulletin? Speaking of, what are you worshiping? Because what you worship is what will pull you. Maybe it's worshiping attention. Maybe it's worshiping what other people think of you. Maybe it's worshiping something. But that's where temptation is going to be particularly strong in your life. Study your own heart that you might know and be wise and be able and prepared to resist when temptation comes. Keep your guard up. By God's grace, in this life, through Christ, you will have victory. You will win battles. You will resist temptation. Temptations that once were so strong in your life will become weaker and weaker. But then you face the temptation of thinking you've already won the full battle, that everything is done. And so you are tempted to not be as vigilant, to let your guard down. But remember, there is no full victory until heaven. That you are still in this life, still a battle, still a war zone until heaven. So don't take off your armor. Don't take off the armor of God that he gives us until heaven. But trust him. He is your captain of your salvation. He is leading you into battle. He is giving you victory. But be vigilant with his strength. So how to pray this petition? With faith and with vigilance. Third, pray with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Because God has come mercifully to open your eyes to see your need, to come that you in your life have not just been left to cave into temptation, to remain a slave of sin, but God has come at whatever stage, whatever that was, however he brought it to bear. Maybe it was growing up in a Christian home. Maybe it was hearing it in a church in a way you didn't expect, whatever it might be. Maybe it was on the radio. I was recalling the story of a friend who was in prison for a long time, who was in solitary confinement, and who was moving along the radio dial in solitary confinement, and he came across R.C. Sproul, and now he's the most gentle preacher you've probably ever met in your life. Just a sweet, sweet man. Thank God for opening your eyes to see that there is sin, that there is Satan, that there is temptation, that sin is sin, and that you might be alive to that sin, alive to recognize that sin, alive to see it, to struggle with it. Thank God for opening your eyes. Thank God for the manual of salvation, the manual of victory, the manual, the Bible, the Word of God he has given, not man's word, but God's word through man, given so that we might be able to be rescued, resisting, and winning that victory. Thank God for the power he gives us in Christ, for the armor of faith. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 6 and work through the armor of faith. what God gives us. Thank God for his invitation to come and live, to come and receive from him life, to come and escape death. See, if there was no help in temptation, we have every right to be discouraged. If you have the right to give up and to despair, if there was no help, but God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. David declares that truth in Psalm 18 as he revels and looks back on the victory that God gave him against Saul, as God had protected him from his evil. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And the Bible, over and over again, Old Testament and New Testament, before Christ and since Christ, all along the way and throughout church history, God has delivered his people again and again and again. It declares the faithfulness of God to deliver, especially in giving his own Son to provide that ultimate deliverance for all who have trusted in him. And as we have already meditated upon and thought upon his faithfulness, we can pray, Father, give me your Son's faithfulness. Make me faithful like Jesus. Make me faithful through Jesus, make me faithful like Jesus, that I would resist and win. Yes, temptation comes, and there is great evil that would have you destroyed, but you have a greater ally in the Lord himself. You're under his care, always under the care of the Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord, whose mercies endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord. So pray with faith and with vigilance, with thanksgiving, and then with action. With action. This has already been clear, brought through throughout our time this afternoon, throughout this message. You are responsible to resist temptation. You have a responsibility to put away sin. Man's responsibility that we are to take the strength that God gives us and use it well. Have you ever been in this situation? If you look in your own hearts, confess your own sin, that you've been tempted to sin, you've begun to indulge in sin, and you in some sense, you pray, Lord, help me, deliver me, but you have no intention of actually doing anything else, and you're just about to go into the sin. Even, you're still going to carry on, you still intend to carry on, you still intend to indulge the sin, but in a way, you're praying, almost wanting God to miraculously just kind of pick you up and move you somewhere else in the world so you're away from that sin, and then there's the opportunity, you think in your heart, well, see, if it doesn't happen, I tried, I prayed, God didn't do it, it's his fault. There's a sinfulness in the heart that tries to find a way to blame God for not rescuing you, even though you yourself are going full steam ahead, foot on the gas, even as you closed your eyes and muttered some words of prayer to God. That's a wrong view of how God works. It's a wrong view of putting ourselves into a horrible situation and then without any real desire to come out of it, we're still trying to get God to intervene. God may and God can, God does, but we cannot expect when we indulge in sin for God to go along with that. It's a wrong view of how God works. God is powerful. God equips us, but he also calls us and commands us to act. We are to take action. We are to take our responsibility. We are to pray and we are to work. We are to seek him and we are to seek the way of escape that he provides. So taking that very language, right, that way of escape, he promises in 1 Corinthians 10, in every temptation he provides a way of escape. Look for that way of escape. When you're struggling with temptation, pray for eyes to see it that you might take it, that you would see the escape hatch, you would see the exit, you'd be able to go. If you're in a place of temptation, leave that place of temptation. Literally get up and walk or run away. If you're tempted to indulge in sin, or you're wasting time, or you're procrastinating, put your phone away, turn off your computer, get out. If your mind is being filled with angry thoughts and bitter thoughts or impure thoughts, think on pure things. Whatever is good and faithful and pure and lovely, Paul says, think on those things. If you're about to blow your top and lose your temper, boys and girls, against your siblings or your friends, you're about to take a swing, walk away from that situation, get out of that situation and seek the Lord. If if you're tempted to steal something, or you're sitting there and indulging your covetous heart in things at the mall, leave. Go away. Walk out. Yes, you drove an hour to Halifax, and you're at the mall, and now you're recognizing your sin, you're being tempted. That's fine, okay? It's a little bit of gas money, but get out. Stop thinking, well, I'm here, I've got to do this. There's all sorts of reasons. We can make up all kinds of excuses. Next time, we can think, well, I need my computer. I can't turn it off. I have a paper due tomorrow. Or, oh, I need my phone. I've got a business to run. Or, and just stop. Is it worth your soul? Well, you might go from an A to a B because your paper's late, but is it worth your soul? Take the way of escape that God gives you. Stop with excuses. Don't set yourself up to fail. Walk away. Get out. Read the scriptures. Sing a hymn. Pray to the Lord. And you will see, by the power of God at work in you, how those temptations will fade, how that struggle will result in victory, how you will see God's hand at work in you. That's always obvious, isn't it? After you've sinned, after you've indulged in sin, after I've indulged in sin, isn't it obvious that way of escape suddenly becomes so clear? Why didn't I just walk away? Why didn't I just reach out for help? But seek it then before sin. God promises a way of escape. He's not just saying things to try to make you feel better. He means what he says. So as we consider this petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we can pray this prayer with faith, with vigilance, with thanksgiving, with action, and finally, with anticipation. That is, with a desire for full deliverance, with an anticipation that one day you will be completely and fully freed. It should make you, when you face temptation, it should make you long for the perfections of heaven, where you there will be made perfectly holy and pure, where there will be no internal desire in your heart to sin against God. All of that will be perfectly pure, and all those struggles will be gone. And there will be no external temptations for Satan and his angels, his demons, and all evil will have been cast into the lake of fire. There will be nothing in heaven that will tempt you to sin against the Lord your God. You will have been perfected by Jesus Christ. And in fact, brothers and sisters, though we don't like temptation, though the testing of God is painful for a time, yet in this way too, God uses these things to uproot us from this life, to stop us from looking to this life for our ultimate satisfactions, but to realize, I don't want to stay here. I want to serve God here. I want to be faithful to God as long as I'm here, but I want heaven. Temptation should give you a longing for heaven. Oh, Lord, how long, how I want to be with you. And so, as you consider this petition in your own life, pray that petition and ponder as well the words of that familiar hymn. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen. Let's pray. That is our prayer, O Lord our God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do what is best, answer that prayer according to what is good. Do what is faithful, Lord, we trust that you will. And Lord, we pray, even as we struggle with sin still, even as we face the temptations, the enticements from our own flesh, our own hearts, from Satan, and from the world around us, Lord, may it also give us an anticipation, a longing, a desire for heaven. We pray already that heaven's work would be more and more showing itself, being evident in our lives, that we would be resisting Satan, he would be fleeing from us, that temptations would grow weaker. And Lord, we pray then, longing and looking forward to that day, when all these things will be gone. Oh, Lord, we can scarcely imagine what it will be like when all these temptations are gone. We're so surrounded, so assaulted. Protect us, defend us, strengthen us, and give us victory here, and give us the ultimate victory in heaven. We look to you. And enable us then, Lord, to pray this petition with great faith in our God who delivers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.